Probably the most famous bracha in all of, a lot of the most famous brachas in all of Chumash are in this week's parasha, but the most famous is probably V'yidgu l'rov b'kerav haaretz, right? Hamalach gol, but part of the bracha is V'yidgu l'rov b'kerav haaretz. This is what we call in English a mixed metaphor, right? V'yidgu l'rov b'kerav haaretz, because you know what fish do b'kerav haaretz? They die b'kerav haaretz. Fish don't live on land, they die on land. So why would Yaakov give such a strange bracha? Wouldn't it be better to say v'yihiyu l'rov ba'aretz kedagim shebayam? You know, like, you should be as plentiful over here on earth the way dagim are bayam, but I certainly don't want you to be like a fish on dry land. That's kasha number one. Kasha number two, in describing the climactic meeting between Yaakov and Yosef after all those years apart from each other. So first of all, by the way, just Agav Dafyomi this week, we had that Gemara that says that if a person's going to encounter a Yetzirah, anyone doing the Daf here? Okay, so a couple of guys. So that if you're going to encounter the Yetzirah, the Gemara says that there's a whole series of steps that you're supposed to go through to defeat the Yetzirah. So you should be Osik Petorah. You should be Kara Kriya Shema. You should be Mazkir Yom HaMisa. So Rav Zalman Saratzkin points out in Azayim LaTorah, it's exactly what Yaakov does when he's about to face the Yetzer Hara of Shtuvei Zim of Mitzrayim, that he was sent Yehuda, Goshna, to prepare a yeshiva, it's Torah. And then when he gets there, Chazal tells us he was Kori Kriya Shema. That's why Vayev Kal Tzavarav, and it wasn't Vayev Kuel, right? And then, as soon as he talks, Amusa Hapa, he's Maskri Yom Amisa. Mamish follows the exact... beautiful vart from Zalman Saratzkin. Anyway, so they have this meeting, and the Torah says, "Vayasar Yosef Mar Kaftov, Vayal Kros Yisrael Aviv Goshna, Vayera Elov." And he appeared to him. And Rashi comments, "Yosef Nira El Aviv." That Yosef appeared to his father, and that seems extremely obvious. Of course, he appeared to his father. What's Rashi adding that the Chumash didn't already tell us? Third, in the bracha of Hamalach HaGoel, Yaakov says that the Jewish people are going to be called Shmi v'Shem Avosai. Shmi v'Shem Avosai. Isn't it a little bit of chutzpah to put himself before Avosai? That's not our way. Certainly not the way of tzaddikim. You know, there are title pages of Svarim that have the person says the author's name, and his name is in smaller print than his father's name. Sometimes, like, you have to like read it carefully to see who actually wrote the sefer. Ben La'adon Yavi, and then, you know, there are Hakdamos of Sarm where great gedolim said, and all of this. Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Hakdamah to Gris Moshe, says that I was zochet to write a Gris Moshe in the zechus of my father because my father was a tzaddik. Like that's the Jewish way, right? To give credit to the previous generations. But Yaakov is Shmi, and then Shem Avosai. So it's a beautiful drush from Rav Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer. I think we've quoted him before. Rav Nechemya Kornitzer is a great grandson of the Chassam Sofer, both his father's and his mother's side. For those who are doing the Daf Yomi, if you're following on Twitter, Rabbi Nathan Farber is doing the what are they called?
Style of Daf.
Style of Daf. Yeah, they're mamish unbelievable. Yeah. he's such a talented person; it's ridiculous. So he's a great great grandson of Rav Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer. I don't think Rav Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer ever could have dreamed of style of daf, but there are three types of animals that we eat, says Rav Yosef Nechemya, each which requires a different level of preparation. He says, behemos are created from the aretz and require shechitas beis simanim in order to be kosher. Dagim are purely in water, require no shechita at all. They're automatically ready to eat as soon as they die. If it dies, you can eat it. Ophos are created from the rakak, from the mud, which is comprised of earth and water. They require shchitas simenecha. You don't need shnei simanim by an oath. So says Rav Yosef Nechemya, there are just, you see three types of people. Some people are totally consumed by aretz, by earthly matters. They have no connection to the Yam HaTalmud, to the waters of the Torah. These are amei aretz. They become obsessed with money. They often, you'll see, sometimes people become so obsessed with money, they don't have friends who don't have money. There are people like this, that they only deem someone worthy of befriending if there's something material connected to that person. Not that their relationships aren't meaningful friendships, but they would never even think about becoming a friend with someone. It's wild. they don't associate with, because they have no common interests with people who don't have money. That's an aretz person. Then you have other people that dedicate their entire life, and by the way, an aretz person needs a lot of hechsher, right? Shchitas shnei simanim. It needs a lot to kasher that. Then you have other people that dedicate their entire lives to Torah. They live in the Yama Talmud. They're the fish. I remember I visited, when I'm going to Eretz Yisrael this week, last year I was in Eretz Yisrael, I stopped by my sister's apartment one night late. It was a long day. I just had to pick something up. My sister said, "It's okay, come by." It was late at night. It was like 11:30 at night. She said, "We're still up. It's fine." And I walk into the apartment, and my brother-in-law, at that time they only had 9 children, they didn't have 10 children yet, but my brother-in-law is sitting there. 5 of the kids are still awake. They're like bouncing all over the place. Kedarkam. And I see my brother-in-law sitting at the table, and he's just Amal V'yogei B'Torah, late into the night. What does he have open in front of me? He has a Shulchan Aruch in front of me. He has Chidush Rebar Yalev Malin. Like 11:30, and I have like Chidush Rebar Yalev. He said, "Yeah, it's my candy. It's my candy." That's what he described. There are people that live their lives in the Yam. And then there are people who manage to pull off some sort of balance. They're Bekerev Ha'aretz, but they still define themselves by the water. There are people who work at a variety of secular professions, but spend early mornings or late nights or Shabbos tables engaging in the world of Torah. And they still define themselves by the world of Torah. It's the hardest kind of person to be. Right? It's a great, great challenge. And with that, says Rav Yosef Nechama, maybe we can answer our questions. The bracha of the Yidgul Larov, the Kerev Haaretz, is exactly that. It's Klal Yisrael's going to be in Galus for a long time. And we're going to have to interact with the world around us. We're going to be Bekerev Haaretz. We're going to be in a world of Aretz. But it should be V'yidgu L'rov. We should thrive the way fish thrive. Fish thrive on water. We should thrive on Ein Mayim El Torah, even as we're Bekerev Haaretz. It seems impossible. How could someone be so connected to Torah when you're living Bekerev Haaretz? Fish die when they're Bekerev Haaretz. So maybe there are a couple of etzas that are important. First is that a person needs a solid foundation in Torah. A person cannot expect to approach this world and all of its values without first spending serious time engaged in serious Torah learning. And that's why Yaakov says, Shemi before Shem Avosai. See, what's Shem Avosai? Avram is B'vchinas Chesed, Yitzchak is Avoda, but it's not going to work unless you first have Shmi. Titan Emes Liyakov, in Emes Ela Torah, Torah's Emes. You can make it, but Torah has to be the bedrock. Torah has to be the foundation. Remember when this is coming up, I think now, on the first yard site of my elementary school principal. Anyone go to South Shore here? Any 5,000? So my elementary school principal was a big tzaddik. His name was Rav Chanina Hertzberg Zecher Tzaddik Levracha. He just passed away last year. He was a mechanich like you wouldn't. He was a legendary mechanich. Remember my father, when we moved to the Five Towns from Brooklyn, so we went to check out the yeshiva. My father brought me and my brother, and we went to the different classrooms and saw whatever we saw. I don't remember. Then it was like dismissal time. And Rabbi Hertzberg was at the door saying goodbye to every kid by his full name. Like, you know, "Have a good night, Shimon Yaakov. Say hi to your brother, Maishi, when he graduated 2 years ago. And every single kid. My father's like, "Okay, that's the yeshiva you got to go to." Like, that was, meaning he saw a mechanic. He saw someone like who. Rabbi Hertzberg, I remember on our eighth grade graduation trip, we were in Hershey Park. And that night in the Hershey Park amphitheater, there was a Guns N' Roses concert. I don't know, maybe it's not your generation, but you know, Guns N' Roses. And so Guns N' Roses are big promoters of mitzvos and maisim tovim and being proper role models. So Rabbi Hirschberg told us, and you can imagine the kind of people that were drawn to the concert. So like we're in the parking lot, and the parking lot is like swarming with some version of humanity. And Rabbi Hirschberg tells us, everyone on the bus. Okay, we thought we were just being whisked away. And Rabbi Hirschberg gets on the microphone, he says, "Everyone look around. Look out the windows." He says, "There are Yidden in that crowd. Can you identify them? Who are the Jews in that crowd?" We're like, no, I don't know, like seven piercings instead of nine. Like, I don't know. How would we identify? He said, the difference between a Jew who enjoys the privilege of a Torah education, like you're just completing 8th grade, like you've been Zochatav over the last 10 years, and a Jew who was never privileged to be able to have a Torah education, is the difference between you and what you're looking at. And he said, he drove up, meaning he saw that as a teachable moment, that this is what Torah does to a Jew, and this is what a lack of Torah does to a Jew. We who have Torah, we have the capacity to be dagim shabiyam. We do have that a bit, but we can also be dagim bekerav haaretz. We can be Ephraim, who represents pure Torah learning. We can be Menashe, who represents political success that's based on Torah learning. And the second key is when defining the success of living like dagim bekerav haaretz. You know, we always look to Yosef. Rav Salvechik always say we look to Yosef as the paradigm of a Jew in galus. He went all alone to foreign land, foreign values, and maintained his commitment to the values that he was raised with. And that's why Yaakov prepared him for the experience with Torah. They learned together Torah. But there was another value that Yosef taught, and that is that he doesn't work for himself. We always work for Hashem, right? Paro says, I hear that you know how to interpret you. No, Biladai. It's only Hashem. Everything is Hashem. We don't work for ourselves. And we have to realize that when we think outside of ourselves, we avoid some of the pitfalls of those taivos for power and for money and for success that sometimes causes the undoing of what otherwise used to be fine B'nai Torah. Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel suggests that when Yosef sees his father, he probably really wants to cry and he wants to, you know, see his father after all these years, take in the moment. But he was seeing things from his father's perspective. And that's what Rashi means. His entire kavanah was seeing his father was to appear to his father, was to let his father see him. Of course he missed his father. Of course he wanted to see him. But he lived that moment in his father's shoes. He looked at that moment through his father's eyes. Let me appear to my father. Be a giver in that moment, not a taker. And just because it's his yahrzeit coming up and because he's such an inspiring person, Rabbi Herzberg's sons told me during Shiva that there was a particular Rebbe who had caused Rabbi Herzberg's a terrible amount of aggravation. He treated him in a way that would have made any other principal fire him. Sometimes people just don't have common sense. Like, you don't do that to your boss, right? And the board wanted to fire the Rebbe, and the person who saved that Rebbe's job was Rabbi Herzberg. He saved his job. He stood up for him. He's good with the Talmidim. It doesn't matter if he's good with me. I can handle it. I have a thick skin, Rabbi Herzberg told the board. He's good with the Talmidim. That's all that matters. And you contrast that with the story that Rabbi Hain told me. Rabbi Kenny Hain told me that his father, Mr. Hain, I remember his father when I was a little kid. Mr. Hain was, when I was a little kid, he must have been in his 80s. He was like this old man that worked in the yeshiva as an administrator in the office or something with the finance. I don't know what he did exactly. And he pinched every possible penny for the yeshiva, saved the yeshiva a lot of money. And Rabbi Hain must be a Ben Zakunim, because his father, again, when I was a little kid, his father was already a very old man. And Rabbi Hain, if you know him, is a very young man. So one time, a Rebbe berated Mr. Hain in a humiliating way. Rabbi Herzberg, on the spot, fired the Rebbe. Go. Don't come back. Keep in mind, a Rebbe who went after him and treated him disrespectfully, treated the Menahel disrespectfully, now that's fine. I have a thick skin. A person lives outside of himself, but you treat Mr. Hain that way? No, that we can't have. To treat someone else that way? That's not acceptable. To think of others first. So the two keys, or two of the keys in Galus, to be grounded in Torah and to think outside of ourselves. Think of the Ribbono Shel Olam before us. Think of other people before ourselves, and through that we can do it. It's not an easy trick, but we can do it to be the Yidgul Lero, the Kerev HaAretz. Okay.